B-Pod Studios.
He was an American original, Chuck Barris, best known for creating and hosting The Gong Show, a quirky spoof of talent shows that dominated the airwaves in the 70s, offering amateurs the opportunity to show off their talents to a three-judge celebrity panel. Decades before American Idol and America's Got Talent.
A strange subculture that we had going out there, and we enjoyed it, you know, very much.
His foray in front of the camera came after an already successful career behind it. After starting out as an NBC page, Barris produced a string of hit game shows, including the dating game and the newlywed game. At one point, the self-proclaimed king of daytime TV provided various networks with 27 hours of television a week. More proof of his eclectic career, Barris also wrote the pop song Palisades Park, a big hit for singer Freddie Cannon back in 1962. Barris was also an author. His so-called unauthorized autobiography, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, was made into a film in 2002, directed by George Clooney. Chuck Barris, producer, host, songwriter, author.
Hey, Stan and Haney, nice to talk to you.
Chuck, nice to talk to you.
You know, I have to ask you right off the bat, you disappeared from the scene for like 10 years.
Yeah, well, it was just about like that. It was about 1980, actually, and the fun of television just seemed to just leave, and it wasn't that much fun doing it anymore. Maybe I had already been doing it for years, so
sure.
I was kind of tired of it. And I just sold my company in 1985, and I went to Europe, because that's a dream I always had, was always writing the great American novel on the French Riviera, and like Hemingway and Fitzgerald, those guys. So, you know, I gave it a whack, and it was a tremendous amount of fun. I never did write the great American novel.
And you got tired being in France, too.
And I got tired being in France. After 10 years, you know, that novelty wore off, and it just wasn't fun.
You ever get to see a bullfight in Spain?
Yes.
How was that?
Yeah, well, you know, I feel sorry for the bull.
Yeah.
You know, and then the guy cuts the ear off and he throws it up to me. And I'm not thrilled about that, you know.
There you go, Chucky baby. And I was always told you got to see a bullfight in Spain to really get the full flavor of it. You go down into Mexico, you get like a half-assed bullfight. You go to Spain, it's the biggies.
Yeah, that's what they say, you know. And I was following this bullfighter around because I wanted to do a movie about his life and so forth. But it again, you know, it just seems to me things like that are fun for a while. And I don't know. I guess I just run out of having fun doing that stuff.
All right, I got to ask you because, you know.
Because you have to.
Because I have to ask you.
Right. CIA. Yep. What can I tell you? Let's go to the next question.
fair enough. When The Gong Show was on, and I watched that thing, and I loved that show so much, and it was pan. The critics used to just go and tear into that and into you as a host. You were the forerunner of the Star Search, the American Idol, throwing any kind of talent out there. You were doing it before anybody else.
Yeah, and we got accused of humiliating the contestants and at our own benefit and so forth and so on and on and on and on, but I never really saw it that way. I mean, the people that we had on the show never knew they were any good. They didn't think they were any good. And the judges knew they weren't any good, so everybody was having basically a good time. When I look at, you know, a show like American Idol, I see these acts really think they're good, and the judges just try to humiliate them, to make them cry and throw them off the set. I don't understand that, but apparently audiences do because they get huge audiences.
I don't know if you kept statistics, but do you know off the top of your head how many times the song Feelings was performed on The Gong Show?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And great questions are few and far between these days for me. We did everybody who came in to audition played Feelings, you know. and we would ask them if they know anything else and so forth and so on. Finally, I just got one day, I said, let's just do a whole show of Feelings, which was my favorite show because none of the acts knew that was going on. We had trios, singles, we had rhythm and blues, we had everything doing feeling.
And correct me if
it's
I'm
a
wrong.
Crowd pleaser.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't, in fact, when your show was at its peak, didn't Carol Burnett do feelings?
Yes. So anyway, you know, that was it. I remember about the third act in. The guy was waiting for us to come out of commercial. He turned to me and he said, "We're all doing feelings, aren't we?" I said, "Yeah, you got it." And he said, anyway, it was a great show. It was, and of course, we closed with the entire cast singing feelings.
True or false? Things I want to throw out there that
Go ahead.
On the specials and stuff. True or false? You would actually put raw meat in your pants to get the dogs to sniff your crotch?
Well, that's true and false. I didn't put raw meat in there. I put Alpo. I mean, you know. A dog acts also kind of got me a little annoyed because, you know, all the dogs did the same thing. My dog was so dumb, he couldn't do anything. And so I would just smear a dab of Alpo on my fly, and the dogs would come out and, you know, head beeline for my crotch. And the trainer, he just wouldn't know what the hell was going on, you know? He just couldn't understand it.
True or false, you fired J.P. Morgan for flashing the audience one too many times.
Well, that's false, actually, because NBC fired her.
Uh-huh.
She did flash the audience several times. I don't know what got into her. We were all a little crazy at the end of that run, and I think I was maybe the craziest of all, and I may have just been contagious or something, but I couldn't understand it. And finally, NBC said, "That's enough," and she couldn't do it anymore.
You know, you talk about going, getting crazy, and that show, it was on for like 4 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, close to five.
You look at the early episodes, you would come out looking pretty good in the tuxedo.
That's right.
And by the end of the fourth season, you were virtually down to rags.
Yeah, no question about it. I was wearing a holster with a chicken in it. And you see, I made the mistake that I warned all my hosts not to do, which was don't get bored and don't think the audience is bored. Everybody just loves repetition. Look at Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. I mean, they're just very secure with that. And just keep doing the same show, you know. Keep just doing the same show. And then who goes out and does? I swore I was boring everybody to death. So I kept ratcheting up the excitement, and then I ratcheted us right off the air.
Yeah. But then you tried to make the movie.
Well, yeah. Now, that was one of my more disastrous mistakes in life. I had a choice at that time in my career of either making the Gong Show movie for Universal or renting Linda Ronstadt's bus and taking my band and going on the road and doing a country and western documentary of a band trying to form itself from one coast to the other and then ending up playing in New York, hopefully at, like, the Lone Star.
I want to ask you about the CD also, because you do Palisades Park on the thing. Is that the first time you, as the writer of that gold record, ever recorded it yourself?
Yes. In fact, I wasn't going to touch it. I never dawned on me to touch it because Freddie Cannon's, you know, record was sacrosanct. That's as good as it got. But the guys talked me into it. They said, "Come on!" And we just put it together there in the studio. And Jesus, I it's one of my favorites.
Two other things I want to ask you: when you go and look back at the old shows, and you see, you know, Jamie Farr and J.P. Morgan there, but then, you know, you catch a guy like Steve Martin while he's still a writer, was just starting to peak as a stand-up comedian, and there he is on the Gong Show panel gonging these guests.
Yeah, and so was David Letterman.
Yeah.
And so we're all sorts of people were on our as judges starting out, and, you know, they've all remained really good friends. That was really fun, the people we had doing the show in those days.
Mean Gene, the dancing machine, true or false, you were running short on time. He was in the back room doing something. You told him to get out and dance.
That's right. That's true. He was in the back room sweeping the floor. That's what he did. He was a stagehand, and he had this long mop, you know, and he just swept up, kept the stage clean. I said, Gene, get out here and dance. And geez, you know, he became huge star.
Somebody's got to captain the ship, Stan. Got to make the tough calls.
Yeah, you got to get out there and dance.
That's right.
I got to ask you also, how's the health? I know about a year and a half, two years ago, you had lung cancer.
Yep. I went in for a CAT scan for a bad shoulder. I thought I had a rotator problem with my rotator cuff from playing racquetball, and they found lung cancer by accident. But they found it, luckily, I had great luck, another great lucky break in my life. They found it so early that I beat it.
And were you a heavy smoker?
Yes, Dan. I was just going to say, it's another thing to think about. I mean, I smoked. I was a pretty good smoker, but I quit 30 years ago or something. And a CAT scan will show it, whereas a chest x-ray that you usually get on your annual physical won't. I don't want to get into that whole thing. But CAT scans are great. Everybody who ever smoked and they're over 40 or over 50 or something should take it.
Well, Chuck, I'm glad you got bored with France.
I am too.
You got bored with it right at the right time.
My timing has been generally pretty good, and I sold my house and all of that at the right time,
I know you were a fight promoter very early on in your. What was the biggest fight you ever promoted?
Well, it was the only fight I ever promoted. It was Floyd Patterson Johansson, the Swedish fighter.
Which one? 1, 2, or 3?
Ingemar Johansson. First one.
Oh.
First one. Johansson knocked him out, knocked Patterson out, and it was a huge upset. But, that's true. That's true. I was there.
Now that would have been a great fight. That great fight to launch the boxing promotion. But what, you got bored with it?
Well, no, I wasn't. Well, actually, I was working for the promoter, and the promoter he got in trouble with the fight crowd, and all of a sudden, boy, we were out of business. We were out of business. I was looking for a job, and from that job, I actually finally got hired to follow Dick Clark around on Bandstand, and that was really the beginning of me getting back into television.
A true television genius. Chuck, we'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, thanks a lot, Stan and Haney. I appreciate you having me.
All right, buddy. We'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it. Stand and hate it all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. Show it so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. To us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
Hizzle in the Afternizzle on 96 K-Rizzle. That's right. We're quite hip and on the sharp cutting edge of 1999, biatch. Well, it's more serrated than sharp, but it gets the job done. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. Tuesday afternoon. Appreciate you being here. Of course, we've got Mike Chiannopoulos coming up at 3:30. We just played Chuck Barris, and it was nice hearing Chuck Barris again. He died a few years ago, and truly one of the most brilliant people. Truly one of the most brilliant people that was ever in entertainment. And, of course, he didn't want to talk about it, but a member of the CIA. He knew things. He knew a lot of things.
Main thing he knew was Gene Gene, the dancing machine.
That's right. You told him to go out and dance. I want to talk about, you're not going to know who she is, and it's sad that you don't, but I understand that you don't. It was in the news press today, and I got a chance to meet this woman, and truly a legend. She passed away. When I hung out with Bill Cosby, convict Bill Cosby.
Don't even joke.
I know. But when I got to hang out with Bill Cosby, my daughter did 20 minutes with him on stage, and it was very entertaining. And he was a prince of a man. Spectacular guy. Was nothing but a gentleman to myself and my daughter, and really a genuine guy. Whatever people claim he did, I didn't see it. And I hung out with him for hours and hours. But,
well, isn't it amazing the double standard where you have somebody like, let's say, I don't know, Roman Polanski.
Yeah.
And everybody in Hollywood is making excuses for him. That was a long time ago. And the very same people are locked Bill Cosby up.
One of the women, an elderly woman that was backstage with me, because when I came back there, it was him and this elderly woman, and then his other friends came in later on, but it was him and this elderly woman. Her name was Norma Miller.
And, oh, I remember you telling me about.
And
that.
Yep, and he said, "You know what? I need to introduce you to Norma Miller," and he even phrased it this way. He said, "She is more famous than I am." And I shook her hand and said hello, and she was there the whole time I was there. She just passed away, and I'm going to tell you just a little bit about her. She was known as the Queen of Swing. Lived in Fort Myers, died at 99. In the 1930s and 40s, she was a member of the Lindy Hoppers, the famous dancers who helped popularize swing dancing. And later she shared a Las Vegas stage with Sammy Davis Jr. and Red Fox. She was even on an episode of Sanford and Son. She hoped to make it to 100, but it just wasn't meant to be.
Once she checked you off her bucket list, you knew.
Born in Harlem, Miller grew up near the famous Savoy Ballroom. She was 12 when a legendary dancer, Twist Mouth George, saw her and asked her to dance with him inside the Savoy. She said in a 2005 interview, "I danced with the world's greatest dancer. And nobody, and I couldn't tell anybody. I was too young to be inside the Savoy." 3 months later, she was cherry-picked as by dancer Herb Whitey Ford to join the Lindy Hoppers, whose high-flying dance moves were named after aviator Charles Lindbergh. She was the last surviving original member of the all-black dance troupe. I want to tell you about her star power. She ended up touring Europe in 1935. That led to appearances in, among other things, two Marx Brothers movies, Hell's a Poppin' and A Day at the Races.
A Day at the Races, that's like, that's definitive right there.
A career, you bust your backside. It's hard dancing, all kinds of fractures. I'm just healing now, and it's 70 years later. Very nice woman. Had an opportunity, thanks to Bill Cosby.
Is Bill Cosby to meet her. The one where his eyesight was failing, and they showed him a picture, and he showed it to you and said, look how beautiful she is, Sam.
That was another couple that knew him, I guess, up in Pennsylvania.
Somehow, Bill Cosby made you his right-hand man that night.
Yeah, he called me his white son. And people were coming in into the dressing room. Now, amazingly enough, Norma Miller was sitting there quietly. She was drinking a cup of tea, and a very elegant woman. And there were people, you know, hey, Bill, we went to your college. Hey, remember us? And they were just coming in, snubbing in, saying hello. And he doesn't remember any of these. And so the couple came in there, a husband and wife. Yeah, we went to school with you. So-and-so's passed away. And you're like, okay, that's great. I got to show you a picture of our son. Boy, is he grown. Take a look at this. And it's like he can't see, can't even describe. He passes it over to me. Yeah, about 5'10", looks to be about 100. Yeah, he's really grown up. And then he started showing old, and he was passing them over to me to give a description of what the picture was.
The great thing is none of that was planned out.
No.
He just felt comfortable enough with you that, all right, you've been drafted. You're the guy tonight.
Yeah. It was because he for several years, whenever he was in town, he came on the show with us. And I was talking to him about
And I mean, for us, yeah, we've been at this a long time. But this guy is on the Mount Rushmore of comedy, and he's willing to take time and talk to us.
So I'm telling him about my daughter. He says, I want the two of you at my show tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, how do I get to into your show? Just go up and tell him you're my guest. And I'm okay, so have you ever gone to the Barbara B. Man?
Yeah.
You don't quite know who to talk to, so I go up to the Will Call window, and I just said, I'm a guest of Mr. Cosby's. And, oh, sure you are.
Uh-huh.
I said, will you just please call somebody?
Because they've seen you try and pull that before.
Yeah.
When you weren't
invited. When I wasn't a guest to anybody. Yeah. And sure enough, one of his assistants came up, said, Mr. Cosby's been expecting you.
And what did that do to the box office person who knows that you're running a scam?
She didn't say anything.
Glare at you a little?
No, because as soon as the woman came up that was a representative with Bill Cosby, the woman in the booth, the Will Call, was out of the picture. I didn't even give her no mind. And then we went...
Too bad. I would have liked that.
Then we went backstage and... got up, introduced, and we just started talking right off the bat. And then he introduced me to Norma Miller, and we were going all back and forth, and it just kept rolling. I was asking him questions. He was giving me answers. I even, at one point, early on, I brought out my camera. I said, do you mind if we get I get a picture with you and my daughter? He goes, there'll be time for that later. Put your camera away. Let's talk. And that's how it started.
And you became the inner circle.
Yep. And then trying to get out on stage, my daughter's walking to go out on stage, and she says, wait a second, I have to go and use the restroom before I go out on stage. And she says, where's the restroom? And so backstage, Bill Cosby's going all over the place trying to find her a restroom, going outside, going out the backside. Where's the restrooms? And then finally showed her where they're going. And she went out on stage with him. And that was a great time.
That man should not be sitting in a jail.
No, shouldn't be. Oh, and by the way, before we take the break, just a little teaser. I've done some serious research on Helen Keller.
Oh, you're not going to let that go.
No, I'm
not. Part of me was hoping you forgot overnight.
Oh, I got info.
bring it down.
Take it down. Take it down. All the way up to high, powerful people.
Worst thing that ever happened to Helen Keller is Stan putting the high beams on her.
Yep. I did some investigation. And thanks to Kim E. Nelson of the Journal of Southern History, I found out some stuff.
Bring it down.
Take it down now. Well, you know what? Take it down. Any statue of Helen Keller. Come on. Bring it down. I'll update you on what that is.
Oh, boy.
In just a little bit.
After said almost.
We've been ribbed. Ribbed for her pleasure. Ooh. Hey, it's in the Bible. Look it up. Stan and Haney on 96K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Mike Chiannopoulos from Absolute Law in studio. In about an hour, taking your legal questions. A little heads up for you. Mike last week was here and left, and a lot of people waited too long to get their questions in to talk to Mike. Get your questions in early. Get ready to call early. He'll be here in an hour. Stan's name that movie later on today. Mother's Day. We got Mother's Day coming up this weekend. These are clips that feature moms in the movie. Name the movie and win a prize. I know we have Busch Gardens later on today.
I hope that guy wins.
What guy wins?
Tim wanted to take his kids to Busch Gardens.
I hope so. I hope so. If he can name the movie and be the first one to do it.
Do you know, I guess we have become de facto ambassadors of Hank Williams Jr.
We have?
Yeah.
How do you figure?
Well, one of the gals that works here, one of the better looking ones.
Yeah.
So I took time to say hello.
Yeah, I don't play.
She said hello first. Yeah. I acknowledge her, I guess, is what
otherwise,
I should. I took time out to acknowledge her. Otherwise, I'd pretend to be distracted.
Right.
And she said, you know, I normally see eye to eye with you guys and, you know, all the different kinds of music you like. But, I don't know about this Hank Williams Jr. That's just, I don't know about that. Mm. And I said, well, do you know his story? You know anything about him? Well, I know his name is Hank Williams, and I proceeded to tell her his whole life story, you know, condensed version of where his mother made him dress up like his dead father and do all of his songs note for note, and then he fell off a mountain and had his
face ripped off,
and that's why you see the beard and the sunglasses and the hats. And then I explained, and he saved me from killing myself when I was in country radio. Because I didn't know much about him, but the program director of the country station said, and he held up an album, he goes, this gentleman will save your life. He goes, unfortunately, I'm going to tell you right now, the songs that I'm going to play for you, we will never ever play on this radio station. We will only play a select number of his hits. But then he played me the rockiest stuff that Hank ever
he
did.
Rocked.
And I'm like, that's Hank Williams Jr.?
Mm.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And then I told her how heartbreaking it was. And we got this little short, fat program director from Baltimore who thought he was something. He was a part-timer in Baltimore and comes down to be program director. And you know the type.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through all of our Hank Jr. records with a razor blade and whiteout on all of my favorite cuts.
Yeah, you told me
cuts.
That. He made to make sure you guys wouldn't play it.
And little,
he'd cut right into it. Yep.
Fat pig.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, that's good. I'm glad you're in the ambassador. He was great. There's no doubt about it. He still got it.
And she was shocked when I said, you know, if you'd gone to the show, you would have seen probably a good quarter of his show. He wasn't even doing his own stuff. He was doing ZZ Top, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Aerosmith.
Yep. It's true. Let's.
He's a renaissance man.
Let's do the grab bag.
He knows it all.
A great man. Peter Monk North. Told you it is Mother's Day coming up this weekend. Our gal knows it too.
And now it's time for another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
It's almost Mother's Day. I can't wait to see my dear old mom sitting on the front porch in a rocking chair, sipping lemonade, knitting a sweater, reminiscing about her childhood on the farm. Oh, wait, that's somebody else's mother. Mine will be liquored up on vodka, playing online poker, smoking a Camel non-filter, and cursing the day my father was born. I remember now. It's other people's moms that spend an hour gushing over their Mother's Day card. I have the mom that forgets to open hers, then ends up using it as a Budweiser coaster. That's right. I have the mom that'll be passed out by noon with a belly full of deer sausage, mumbling something about NASCAR being rigged. Oh, Mother's Day. Just another reminder of why I moved across town and changed my phone number.
And that was another episode of 1 Minute Inside a Woman's Head.
Oh, they love their mothers, don't they?
They sure do. They love their mothers.
Not really.
Today's National Teachers Day.
Today's show is brought to you by National Teachers Day, also known as People Not Getting Paid Enough to Watch Your Spoiled Rotten Kids Day.
Happy National Teachers Day.
They pretend to like their mothers.
There is always a competition, okay? They will turn to their mothers in their deepest sorrow, their highest highs, but
they generally,
and mother,
yeah, they generally bond when something really crappy is going on.
But there is a competition between the two of them.
But then if things start to go a little too good,
yep,
either the daughter or the mother will throw a monkey wrench, yep, in, and then they won't be speaking to each other for a while.
Then you get the one mother that will go and try to compete with their daughter's youth if they're relatively close in age.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll adopt what the daughter wears, want to go out clubbing with them.
Jeez. And they say, we're creepy.
Yeah. I'm only going to play part of this. I'm going to play the worst part of it. There is a new contender for the worst national anthem. And it goes to a guy at a minor league baseball game.
Is this sincere or is this someone mocking?
He thought it. You'll be the judge. He thought it would be cool to go sing the national anthem. He's not a good singer. Then he forgets the words.
I don't have a problem if you're not a good singer. If you're sincerely,
I don't know that he
trying
was
to do it, and it's not pleasing to the ear. I forgive you. But if you're mocking it.
I'm playing you the first half. I'm not going to go for the full 2 minutes of the national anthem with this guy.
Because, see, my thought is always they bring a guy out to sing the national anthem and they just introduce him by name or they don't introduce him at all. And the guy does a bad job on the anthem and then somebody would come out and go, how about a hand for our Medal of Honor winner who saved the lives of over 24 Marines. You see, I don't want to be in that position. I've thought about it a lot, so that's why I'm that way.
This guy sounded bad. He struggled.
Not a war hero, is he?
I don't think so. He messes up a line at the beginning, asks the crowd for help, struggles through the rest. The final half, he finally came around, but this is, and I'm not going to play 2 minutes of it. I'm going to play it where he set the tone. And it was not,
you know,
good.
He might argue and go, well, why didn't you play my good stuff?
Here you go. Minor League Baseball game, North Carolina.
Don't mess with the anthem.
Well, it's a very hard song to sing. And he realized he was well over his head and nerves got the best of him. And he was a little sarcastic.
You'd be amazed if you just pick a key and stick with it, how much better you'll do.
Now, listen.
Say, can you see by the dawn's early light whose, right, let me hear you people, lease the so bright a beaming and the perilous line o'er the ramparts we were so gallantly streaming.
Yeah, see what I'm talking about? See what I'm saying?
That is somebody who convinced himself that he could sing the national anthem and sound like some sort of rocker,
yep.
Like the guy from Stained or something.
But he couldn't.
No. He could probably do it in his bathroom with the words written down.
That's probably what made him think he could do it. The video for this is priceless. The video is great, but for audio purposes, the reaction of the reporter is good. If you can see the clip of this, it happens fast, and it's in the background, but it's great, and the reporter gets upset about it. Australian news reporter covering the royal baby in the UK.
Which, by the way, as I pointed out yesterday, named after the waterman.
Boy.
Boy Sussex.
So as she's on the streets talking about the birth of the royal baby, a car goes behind. In the back seat is a little toddler looking out the window who flips her the bird.
A toddler.
Little kid. And she couldn't. Oh, there you go. You can watch it. See the kid in the car? Here you go.
That's a good boy. Yeah.
One of the most popular members of the royal family. So I can get bad parenting. How about that little kid that pulled up behind me before? What a little rotter stuck up his little middle finger. There you go. The mean streets of Windsor on the middle of that a public holiday bank weekend here in the UK.
That little rotter.
Wait till I get my hands.
I think it's adorable. I think it's everything that's great about Ute.
This is... The cause is good. This is... I don't know. A bar in Ohio created a menstruation-themed drink.
No.
To raise awareness...
I
know.
I don't want to raise any awareness about a menstrual drink.
To raise awareness... For a woman's...
I think that phrase should be outlawed, quite frankly. Menstrual drink. They're serving menstrual drinks.
Hold on!
I don't think that's healthy.
Let me take it from the top here.
Okay, check that.
This gives me another chance to say the word again.
Menstrual drink?
Yeah. A bar in Ohio created a
menstrual drink?
A menstruation drink. To raise awareness for a women's shelter in Cleveland. $1 from each drink will go to the shelter. But as you might guess as my...
Menstrual partner, drink?
There's some controversy.
Menses?
Mainly because the drink is garnished with a tampon applicator.
We have tequila, triple sec, Truly, and then we have the berries. I've definitely seen offensive or crass, disgusting. Bleh. And I've seen most of these posts by women saying, I can't believe you would do something like this, which I found a little bit disheartening almost because it almost seems like you're ashamed of something that your body does naturally. We also decided that if someone doesn't want the actual tampon in their drink, that they can donate that tampon as well. They
you
can
know what else the body does
say,
naturally?
The tampon, we just want the drink, and we'll still donate $1 to the women's shelter.
We don't celebrate
it. Maybe some people obviously know that women's shelters like need tampons, but I think a lot of people might not have even known that that's a thing that's common to donate. A small association to help bring awareness.
Oh, I should bring awareness. I'll tell you right now, you better keep that away from the dog.
That'll go right into the waste paper basket.
Yep. God, what is wrong with people? I hate that answer, too. Oh, why should we be ashamed of something... Do you know the things the body is capable
and
of?
You should be ashamed of it.
We don't celebrate it, okay? I guess some people do.
Two greats yesterday, Tiger Woods and President Trump. Here's Tiger Woods when he received the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
This has been an unbelievable experience. To have the support that I've had for all these years, and everyone here has seen and been with me for... my entire life.
And especially Stan betting
against
me.
More than half my life. Jeez. You've seen the good and the bad, the highs and the lows, and I would not be in this position without all of your help. In 97, yes, I won the Masters, and I was there to end up hugging my dad and my mom. My dad's no longer here, but my mom's here. I love you, Mom. Thank you.
Yeah. Trump was loving it.
That's right, Tiger. And we know very well. We had a long talk with your daddy.
We did. Adam Sandler was doing a phone interview yesterday talking about his Chris Farley song and how tough it was to do it and how he really had to compose himself for Saturday Night Live to do that Chris Farley song.
I had to mentally get ready because when I was singing in rehearsals, I kept getting really upset and I couldn't really sing it out loud. I would kind of mumble it because I would see his image and stuff was making me off and upset. And I was like, oh, man, I got to prepare for this for the show to try not to break down. And then they'll pay Farley's name. Going, oh, man, you got to stay calm. Stay calm. Nobody wants to see you cry like an idiot. It was cool. It was really cool.
Yeah. Well, luckily, he was on a different show. Because if he was on this show, Stan would have told him he had a bad phone and hung up on it.
Yeah, I would have. You know, can't you call on a landline? You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
You'd never hear that clip.
No, I'd have to toss it. Yes, very. And that, do you remember
that time in September?
Do you remember when we fought so hard and it took months and months and months to get Robert Evans on?
Mm-hmm.
The former head of Paramount.
Evans.
Kid stays in the picture. And this part did come through. He was talking to us in his bedroom, lying down. And he had his cell phone. And it was the worst connection that I have ever dealt with. And we were talking to him about, and he would start quoting in Evan's style from his experiences talking about the book. And you couldn't understand a GD thing because the phone was so messed up.
And we had built that up so high in our minds. If you've never seen that, the kid stays in the picture. It fascinated us for the better part of a year.
It did. And the stories that he has. And we finally, he's ancient, was married to Ally McGraw.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Steve McQueen fighting with. He was the one that brought The Godfather to the screen.
Evans.
And we finally get him on. And the phone line was God awful.
And it destroys it.
And it finally, it was so bad it disconnected itself. We tried to get him back on. He was on for about 3 more seconds where it disconnected again. And that was the end of it.
Honestly,
God, that makes me mad.
It was easier to do a radio interview over the phone. Much better quality, much better reliability in the 60s and 70s than it is now.
Correct. Because people expect lesser quality. That's the same thing. When you were in the 70s, what was in your bedroom? Big, giant speakers, turntable, cassette. And it sounded so effing good. But then by the 90s,
nobody cares.
You're listening to...
On a tin can.
Yep. Here's wrap up the grab bag. Here's the great Martin Short roasting Conan O'Brien. He was a guest on Conan's show. Conan now 30 minutes. They cut him back to 30 minutes, Conan.
What?
Yeah, this past year it was down to 30 minutes. He doesn't have an hour show anymore. It's 30 minutes.
So with commercials, he's doing about 8 minutes?
Yeah, probably. Here's Martin Short, guest on Conan O'Brien.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, here you go.
I mean, this is my favorite late night show. Of all the shows, it is. Yeah. Of all the shows that don't have a host named Jimmy, this is mine. Oh, come on. This is, and the format, it's Conan Redacted. It's good.
That's right.
You know, I would love to do this show way more often, but, you know, pride.
We're going to take a break.
Let me tell you something. That's a double-edged sword for Conan. On days, and there are days like this, where there's just nothing going on and nothing's working, a half hour is a blessing. When it's a day when things are clicking and happening, a half hour is a kneecapper.
Yep. And just think back in the day, Carson used to do 90 minutes.
But that's where a lot of the Carson magic came from.
Absolutely.
When they're, you know, coming down the home stretch, and there's Johnny with a full couch of God knows who, with Ed going back and forth.
It was phenomenal.
And, you know, maybe a loose monkey here or there. Sorry, Johnny.
Peter Mug North.
Coco likes to wander.
Helen Keller.
Uh-oh.
Research.
You're really going to start this, aren't you?
I'm going to tell you what I know. It's nothing by our standards, Haney, by you and I.
Yeah.
Nothing to be ashamed of. It was a great woman.
I
by
don't...
society's standards.
Should we...
take it down.
Should we explain...
Highest levels.
Should we explain even a little bit?
Well, we'll explain when you... I'll let you set it up. And then
We in reality, we don't have a thing against Helen Keller. It's just to prove a point.
Yep, we'll be back.
Tell Haney to put out his smoke and get his ass in here. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
I already did. Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Mike Chiannopoulos in about 25 minutes. Now, here's the deal. If you want to text your question to Mike Chiannopoulos, get it in early. 239-277-9600. If you'd like to talk to him one-on-one via the phone, he will be in studio in about 25 minutes. He's an attorney. He is somebody that will give you sound advice, because rest assured, somebody is putting their foot on your throat. Okay?
Yeah.
Family law, child support, alimony, visitation with your kids, DUIs, criminal stuff, veterans issues. He comes in once a week, and he does it to talk to you guys to help you out. He may tell you you need to hire a lawyer. He may say you don't need one, or he'll point you in the right direction. So Mike Chiannopoulos, in about 25 minutes, you can text your question right now to Mike, or if you want to talk to him one-on-one, we'll be taking your phone calls, 277-9600, in about 25 minutes. Haney, you set this thing up right at the end of the last break. Haney and I have nothing against Helen Keller. Nothing. Not a thing. To many disabled people around the world, she's a hero. She did many, many great things. But society today is pulling over statues and wiping away history, because maybe somewhere in a different generation, in somebody's past, there might have been something controversial. They might have been a slave owner. They might have been sided with the Confederacy. And
what they're doing is judging people by the standards of a liberal college campus in 2019.
Right.
And I agree with them. I don't think historical figures would mingle well on a college campus in 2019.
You
any
and
of
I
them.
Both know that. Any of them.
I think that even people they lionize, let's say JFK suddenly dropped in for a visit, he'd go, "The hell is wrong with these kids? Are they commies?"
Yeah, it's the truth. So,
you know, you kids are talking about socialism. Do you even know what happened? Are you familiar with the Cuban Missile Crisis? Any of that? Hello? Anything? No? Okay.
So yesterday, Haney brought up a fact.
Can you imagine JFK looking around and going, I may be a bit out of touch, but, excuse me, Stan, can you tell me why these young people are wearing Che Guevara t-shirts?
Yeah. Wouldn't get it.
Do they know who he is?
I was watching a documentary, you know, they had the recordings of Kennedy, JFK, and Bobby, who was the attorney general, when they were beginning to integrate schools and they had to have the National Guard down there. And Bobby Kennedy, attorney general, telling JFK, you know, well, don't worry, we'll get them into the school. And JFK saying to Bobby, you're not going to have people physically roughed up and assault them, are you? No, Jack, we're just going to bump into them a little bit. Well, in today's day and age, if on the orders of the Attorney General of the United States to go and get his way to just move people, bump into them, get them out of the way, can you imagine the uproar?
Oh, they might go so far as to say the Attorney General should be impeached.
Yep.
Oh, wait a second. They already did over nothing.
So, Haney brought up the story yesterday about Helen Keller. Again, we got nothing against Helen Keller. Mm-hmm. By our standards, a great by a university standard, well, if you're doing it to Kate Smith, then
problematic.
Problematic. Because she was born in the South, relatives that were Confederate soldiers.
Tell me about Helen Keller, Stan.
Here we go. This was taken from the Journal of Southern History, a piece written by Kim E. Nelson. And it's a very long piece about Helen Keller and her Southern heritage. This is a portion of it. And it might give you some kind of idea. First of all, her family, very Southern. And they blamed her for any liberal leaning in this article. Any liberal leaning to being taught by teachers in the Northeast. That they ruined her as far as her family beliefs go. But she wrote her own autobiography in 1903. Here you go. Helen Keller. By today's standards, take it down. Take down the statue.
This is not a woman to be honored.
Wipe her name from the history books, right, FGCU students, professors?
Yep. Her and her white privilege.
Yeah, well, here you go. Though Helen Keller left her parents' home in Tuscumbia, Alabama, at the young age of 8, the culture, people, and sensory adventures of her native state were essential to her outlook throughout her life. The deaf-blind activist, author, and world traveler was born in 1880, and she considered Ivy Green, her family's Tuscumbia, Alabama home, as her own. Beginning her lifetime and continuing today, Tuscumbia and Alabama have guarded her as one of their own. Even featuring her on the 2003 State Quarter, Keller was also a child of the broader South. Though after her initial departure, she always lived outside the region, her Southern childhood and family ties formed and constituted vital elements of her public and private identity. She claimed this identity fondly. And yes, frequently labeled the shameful and dominant Southern ideologies and practices. She is viewed as an American, devoid of regional affiliations or associations. In contrast, this essay that I'm writing positions Keller as a Southerner, a Confederate family, whose background and beliefs helped her shape her worldview and her life as a white Southern woman with a disability. Here we go with the family. Take it down. If you're setting one standard, here we go. Keller and her family embraced an esteemed Southern heritage, which they perhaps regarded as being more illustrious than it really had been. When Keller wrote her autobiography, The Story of My Life, in 1903, she described her lineage according to both geography and the Civil War. In this narrative, the men served and the women sired. Helen's father, Arthur H. Keller, served as a captain, and her maternal grandfather as a brigadier general for the Confederacy. Her paternal grandmother, she noted, was second cousin to Robert E. Lee. Captain Keller edited the Tuscumbee, a North Alabamian, for many years, and served in the mid-1800s as a U.S. Marshal for the Southern District of Alabama. Through him, the young Helen claimed Alexander Spotswood, a lieutenant governor and de facto governor in the early 18th century in Virginia, as her great-great-grandfather. Captain Arthur Keller considered his family to be part of the deserving upper-class white elite, though they likely had less than he desired, like many other Southern people. Landholding, and formerly slaveholding, they had lost much of their wealth between 1860 and 1880. At the time of Helen Keller's birth, her family lived on the homestead her grandfather had built. They called it Ivy Green. Decades earlier, due to the beautiful English ivy, trees covered the area as well as fences. The Kellers, however, were no longer the wealthy family they once were. Moreover, the daily physical labor demanded to sustain the household, even with the aid of the formerly enslaved peoples and their descendants, they supervised and exhausted Helen's young mother. Kate, after she became the second wife of the much older man, the Confederate father, all of whom, to the day he died, called him Captain Keller. Take it down. By what standards? I have nothing against Helen Keller. By what standards do you go and take down other monuments?
Well, she needs to be deplatformed, books burned,
yeah.
All mention of her removed.
Isn't it the most ridiculous thing in the world to go to another time, another culture, another way of living, and judge people by today's standards? If you went today and pulled down a Helen Keller statue, you would be arrested and you would be shamed. But her background in history is no different than what other people have paid a hard price for. Statues being taken down. Her cousin's statues are being taken around down all around the country.
Well, and I mean, there's a hell of an argument to be made. What do we celebrate Edison for?
Yeah.
He was a crook and a liar.
Yep. An animal torturer.
Responsible for human deaths as well.
Yep.
We know of at least one suicide, if not more.
And can I tell you something that people don't know, and you say human death? How dare you talk about Edison that way?
It's true.
It's true. Thomas Edison, and some of you might know a little bit about this. It's not taught in schools. You got to read. Read what was going on. Read from that time. Thomas Edison had direct current. He thought that was the future.
Mm-hmm. And there would have been a power station every two or three houses.
Direct current doesn't go very far. And Westinghouse and Tesla came up with the far more effective alternating current.
Lit up the World's Fair, and
Edison didn't like that.
No.
And he was bound and determined to crush Westinghouse and Tesla. Edison wanted to prove the dangers of alternating current. By the way, alternating current is what you use in your home today. Just for those of you that don't know, it wasn't thanks to Edison. It was thanks to Tesla. But he believed that this was the most... he didn't believe. He knew he wasn't right on this. But it was all about a power grab. But he went around on a campaign to prove that alternating current will kill people. And he tried to smear Westinghouse and Tesla. So what did he do at first? He went and he would take capture cats in the neighborhood, dogs, small animals, put them in a cage there in Menlo Park, and he'd electrocute them with alternating current. He'd throw the switch. There went Rusty. There went Puss in Boots.
And Edison was so great at controlling the narrative, he initially fooled Tesla.
Oh, yeah.
Tesla wanted to come work for Edison.
Yep.
And he did briefly.
Yeah, as a laborer. And so, well, we know the animals go good. Well, let's try it on a horse. Okay, that worked too. The horse died. Smoked a little bit, but it was okay. And then...
More painful, the better.
And then, of course, Coney Island. Topsy the elephant. He went and got hooked. Topsy killed a guy that burned her with a cigarette. Edison went and hooked up Tesla's alternating current, and in front of motion picture cameras, electrocuted the elephant to death. So, okay, kill an elephant, kill a horse, kill a dog, kill a cat, certainly can kill people. Why don't I suggest to states around the nation that hung people for their death sentence a little contraption? I'll help you build them. I'll show you how it's done. The electric chair. Far more humane than hanging. And, of course, it's made with that dangerous alternating current.
Hear, hear.
Read the book. Edison and the electric chair. The guy was a thief, a scoundrel, a power broker, and basically a filthy human being that barely ever washed.
Yep.
Well, but yet we honor him with a parade here every year. Say, wake up.
It's really just this... It's not the kids' fault. This stuff is being shoveled into their minds like dirty coal.
Yeah, yep. Edison loved that too, dirty coal.
And then instead of telling them to calm down, and especially at the university level, they fold immediately and say, oh, they must be right. Just insane.
Mike Chinopoulos is next. If you want to talk to Mike, he's an attorney at law, 277-9600.
I'll tell you right now, we'd better be concerned, because the latest thing is this deplatforming.
Yep.
Where they make people disappear.
Yep.
Oh, that's too dangerous for you to look at. We need to remove that.
We'll be back. Stan and Haney, Mike Chinopoulos next call.
We've got our finger on the pulse of our numerous enemies. For the sake of clarification, the pulse is most easily located by firmly grasping the jugular vein and squeezing hard. Stan and Haney in the afternoon on 96 K-Rock.
Hey everybody, Stan and Haney, Mike Chinopoulos is sitting right here in the studio taking your phone calls. If you want to get in and talk to Mike right now, I can tell you one line is open. If you want to talk to him, 277-9600. As soon as somebody finishes with a call, it will also open up another line if you want to talk to Mike Chiannopoulos from Absolute Law. Mike, how are you?
I'm well, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely, and I'm so glad. What's the matter? Something you look puzzled?
I was just wondering why he's here.
Well, he's here to help. That's why he's here.
By God, right here.
And he's a hell of a singer. 277-9600 to talk to an attorney.
Lines are lighting up because I'm here to help.
That's right.
He served his country. He's been a judge.
Yep.
Navigate by stars.
Oh,
it's true. Don't care what it is. You need a
hand, I can assure you this. I can help. I got two strong arms. I can help. It would sure do me good to do you good. Let me help. With anything you got. Anything but bankruptcy.
Anything but bankruptcy.
And divorce. And I've got to give you credit.
What's that?
It was months ago that you gave us firsthand intel about what the Russians are up to in Cuba.
Oh, yes.
And you were.
You've heard about that now, have you?
Finally.
I got to see that personally and knew about it at the same time as pretty much the Pentagon.
I saw an article last night that went into detail. And not even on your intel. They didn't even cover that. But they started talking about the relationship now between Russia and Cuba.
Has thawed significantly.
And talking about the differences now versus, when it was the Soviet Union and there was the ideological component.
Right.
That, no, it's never going back to that where they're giving them, billions of dollars to float their economy, but they're getting far more involved than they have been in the recent past.
And they both now have a mixture of command and free economics. So their economic structure includes both a command component and a free market component. And so they're mirrored in terms of economics. And so they do have interest to align. And unfortunately, the Castros are still in power. I don't care what that guy's name is. He was hand-selected by them. When I was there, the people jokingly told me, I said, who's your new president? And they said, it doesn't matter. We had a finger election. So what's a finger election? And they point at somebody and go, he's president.
You're not. That's all that matters.
Yeah. So,
boy. Okay. We got to try to get as many in as we can here. Here's Jane. She's been waiting the longest. Jane, you're on with Mike Chiannopoulos.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Jane. How can I help you today?
Well, my question is, I have a 17-year-old granddaughter who's living with me, and we're trying to get her enrolled in the technical school here in Cape Coral.
Okay.
And because she's under the age of 24, they want her mother's driver's license, voter's registration card.
Tax returns.
Tax return. Right.
That's proof always of, the hardest.
Yes. Anyway, her mother's not cooperating, and she has none of this. She doesn't own a car. She doesn't vote.
Right.
So I'm wondering how I can get guardianship of her to get her enrolled in this school.
Well, do you really want guardianship or do you want to declare her emancipated as an abandoned child? I mean, where are her parents?
Well, her mother's not in a good place and her dad is not around.
Okay. Well, why doesn't she declare herself emancipated by virtue of being abandoned? And you step in and assist her, but she'll be an emancipated person, and then they can't ask for mom's tax return, dad's tax return, or your tax return.
She would
then,
in the eyes of the law, she'd have the same rights as an adult.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so she's fully emancipated. They can't ask for anybody's tax return. It's just like I went in the service when I was very, very young. Well, I was in for a couple of years, and I went to college, and I was only like 20 or 19 or 20, and they said, we want copies of your parents' tax returns. Well, that has nothing to do with anybody. I've supported myself for the last 3 years. Once I showed I was on active duty, then I was fully emancipated in the eyes of the law, and I stood on my own, and nobody's tax returns but mine mattered.
Okay. So how do we go about doing this?
You can actually call me at 239-ASK-MIKE off the air, make an appointment for a free phone consult with me, and I'll tell you how to do it.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
There you go. There you go. 277-9600. Corey on line 3. Corey, thank you for holding. You're on with Mike. Just lost him.
Corey, what happened? Call back, Corey.
277-9600.
I hope it's not one of those scams.
Yeah.
Have you heard about those?
What?
Where they just robocall you from, and I think there's like 12 of these area codes that are notorious for it, where it'll show up on your phone as a missed call. They'll never let it go to voicemail. Just one ring to show up on your phone, hoping that you'll go, oh, I missed a call. Let me find out who it is. And you call back, and immediately you get jammed with all of these phone fees.
They're all calling back, right? You know what? I think that was a glitch in the phone line because two lines went out. They're both calling back.
All right, Corey, if you're not a robo caller, call us back.
Here's John, line two. John, thank you for holding. You're on with Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, John, what do you got for us today?
I had a felony conviction like 29 years ago. And I
was it in Florida, John?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
And I saw a website, you know, searching about a week ago, I guess, and it said that it had been longer than 8 years since I end of sentence and all that, that I could get my gun rights restored.
Mm-hmm.
I just wondered if that was actually true or if that was some BS website that
I don't know if the time frame of 8 years is correct. But there is a general time after which has passed and you've not been in any trouble after the end of your sentence, so the last day of probation, parole, whatever it is, okay, and then you can seek clemency through the governor's office, and he has a clemency board, and there are rules, and you apply for clemency. The board determines whether you should or shouldn't be approved and gives their recommendation, and the governor signs off as he or she wishes. And if you are granted clemency, then you have all your rights back. You're still a convicted felon, so it's not a pardon, but you have all your rights back.
Including the gun right.
Yes.
Now you haven't gotten caught since, have you?
No, I mean, maybe a speeding ticket here or there, but that's the extent of it.
See, that's the thing. We never ask, did you do it? Have you done it? We ask, have you gotten caught doing it?
I've been a good boy for a lot of years.
There you go.
All right.
Thanks. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, John.
277-9600.
When's the last time you got caught? That's the question.
Right?
Here's Michael, line three. Michael, you're on with Mike Chiannopoulos.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you doing this afternoon?
Michael, what do you got for us today?
I'm an educator within Lee County, and my question is how, as a union member, how else are we protected? Can we use outside services to protect ourselves legally?
I don't know what outside services means. Can you engage a lawyer?
Yes, sir.
Well, yeah, anybody can engage a lawyer, but why would you want to engage a lawyer? To combat your employer, allege some sort of misconduct or unfair treatment or something like that?
No, more for investigative purposes. The district has a certain procedure of the way they do things, and they kind of isolate us between our union and ourselves, so we really have no protection. So we'll just say if I get investigated, I'm really at their, I don't have any protection.
Right. Well, let's do this. Michael, I'm sorry, but this is going to be somewhat of an in-depth conversation. Why don't you call my office at 239-ASK-MIKE and get a free telephone consult with me, and we'll talk about it off the air, when obviously you can speak more freely with me, and it'll be easier for me to understand what's going on.
All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
There you go, buddy. And I want to stress that the second time Mike has said it, if he asks you to call his office, he's going to get on the line with you and give you a free phone consultation where you can get a little bit more in depth, and he can ask the questions he needs to ask, and you can give him the answers he needs to.
In general, really with any employer, most of us don't have unions involved.
Right.
But when it comes down to it, and the way that they design things by working for them, that you agree to arbitration and you're basically signing away all your rights to this private party. Yep. Does that stand up in court, or can you challenge it?
Nah, it typically does. Now, there's two things. Let me say this. There's an employment relationship where there's no contract. In other words, that employee is what I would call an employee at will.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But this is a right to work state. Right to work state is a misnomer. That's how they got people to sign off on it. They misstated and misled what it really was, right? So right to work state actually means the employer can fire you at any time for any reason, except one of the seven bad reasons, you know, like race, gender, religion, age, disability, et cetera. That's a bad result, right? It's terrible. Also, if the employer has under 15 employees, they're not even subject to the Anti-Discrimination Act by the federal or the state government. So I guess if you have under 15 employees within a 25-mile radius, you can discriminate against anybody you want and tell them that's why you're doing it.
It's See, I've always had this idea that agreements that are blatantly one-sided and ridiculous where the other party has so much power that a judge would look at that and go, this is bull.
What you're talking about is a contract employment relationship where the employee signs a contract and they're both bound by it. And the fact that the 99.99% of the time it's drafted by the employer.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
And the employer puts lots of good language in there for the employer and not so much for the employee.
Exactly.
And it's, well, if you want a job here with XYZ manufacturing company.
Yeah, you sign it or you don't work.
You're going to sign this or you're not going to be a vice president or whatever. Okay. Well, that's called a contract of adhesion. And so any ambiguities in the contract are construed strictly against the drafter. Now, what does that mean? That's a bunch of lawyer talk. That means it's a contract that was essentially forced to you. It was given to you on a take-it-or-leave-it basis. You had no input, and the person or entity writing the contract had much greater bargaining power than you. Well, there's the situation. So anytime there's anything that could be construed more than one way, it's always to be construed in the most favorable way for the employee. That's as much as you get.
Something.
Corey called back.
Here Corey.
You, line two. Corey, we got you back, buddy.
Yes, how are you doing?
Go ahead. You're on with Mike.
What do you got for us today?
I got a question about the concealed weapons permit.
Okay.
I was arrested when I was 18 for borrowing my cousin's motorcycle, and he thought it was stolen. And I was charged with grand theft auto, and the charges were dropped, but they did make me go to a pretrial intervention.
Diversion, yeah.
And I was wondering if I'm still eligible for a concealed weapons permit.
How many years ago was that?
Oh, that was when I was like 18, maybe 19, and I'll be 41 in August.
So, you know, 22, 23 years ago?
Yeah.
And you've not had any arrests since? I'm not talking about speeding tickets. I'm talking about like putting handcuffs, gone to jail.
No, nothing. Well,
I would think that, you know, you should be able to pass the weapons background because it ended up
I can buy weapons, so I know I can buy the weapons.
Yeah.
And, you know, it didn't hinder me from going in the Army when I joined the Army.
No, but you're going to have to put down on your weapons application, on your concealed carry application, that yes, were you ever whatever accused of a crime? Because they ask everything. Were you arrested? Were you accused? Were you right?
How can they ask if you were accused?
It's crazy, but they can. And then they go to, okay, if anything above is yes, tell us why.
You know, the more I hear you talk, the more it seems like it being found not guilty is no great blessing.
Here's what you pointed out.
Not even having charges brought. This guy didn't even have charges brought against him.
They want you to explain. So if you say, have you been accused? Well, then there's a little space below. Explain where you can go and, I guess, plead your case to the person that you're filling out the application for.
It does show that it was dropped and abandoned when I pulled up online.
Yeah, and if I were Corey, you know, at that point, it becomes a test of honesty. Because if you say no because you blow it off, you think it's old and it's nonsense, and they find it, then they're going to accuse you of lying. So you know what?
Okay.
Just be honest. Yep, it's there. Explain. Well, it's stupid nonsense. Here's why. And diversion, and there was never a conviction, and there was blah, blah, blah. Okay, they accept that explanation, and you go on.
All right.
Okay.
There you go, buddy. Yep, there you go. 277-9600. We have just a few minutes, a few people on the line. Let me get one Absolute Law text in. Mike, 2 years of unpaid property taxes during the housing mess of 2007. Do I need to pay them to sell my house?
If you don't pay them, the government has a lien, and they won't release the lien until they're paid.
So and it could mess never up be your, a clear title.
Yeah, it could mess up your closing and everything else. So if paying them before the closing is an option, I would do so.
Very quickly, Mike, our car accident claim was settled, but it says we would be responsible for any additional cost. How much should I be expecting? And would it be a good idea to try to appeal to their good nature? We're on the verge of having our first child.
Well, it's a shame that you signed something that said that. Oftentimes what these lawyers do is they get you, let's just say, $10,000. It's a foolish number, but it's round, and I can do it. I'm a simple math guy. So they get you $10,000. Their cut of that is, say, $3,300, okay? Then they're going to, your medical bills are X, and they're going to hold back, say, another $2,000 or $2,500 for your medical bills. But your medical bills are like $5,000. They put it in a separate trust. They have you sign off on it. They won't pay the medical bills. Eventually, everybody gets sued. By then, they've grown that money from $2,500 to $5,000, and they offer it to the medical provider and say, yeah, we understand that you're owed $12,000 plus interest and legal fees, but here's five. Take it or leave it. It's all we got. It's all you're going to get. And so if that goes bad and they decide to come after somebody, they can come after you based upon what you signed.
We got about 2 minutes left. Let's get Jordan in as our last call. Jordan, you're our last one today. Got about 2 minutes with Mike Chinopoulos.
Thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, and I don't know if this question's been asked before, but I'm sure it's one that many people are curious about. If you get pulled over for a DUI, whether it be a sobriety checkpoint, you're weaving between the lines, you get pulled over, and you know you're guilty.
You can't say that.
Come on, you can't say that.
Are you better off being honest? Or are you better off, no, sir, I'm not blowing, I refuse to do a sobriety test? Is there any repercussions if you don't do a field test, or if you don't blow? Is it worse one way or the other?
Yes, I'm going to answer all those questions. Here's the thing. If you know you're guilty and it's a checkpoint, you should just simply put your driver's license in the window and your proof of insurance and say thank you and go on. They might give you a hard time. They might not. But at least if they arrest you, they give you a hard time and they arrest you for DUI, at least you've got an argument to make in court about a wrongful search, seizure, et cetera. If you know you're guilty and you just get pulled over because you were weaving or whatever, then, yeah, give it. And you've never been in trouble before, give what's called a double refusal. Refuse the breathalyzer and refuse the field sobriety. But understand, if you ever do that again, so if you've already refused once and you refuse a second time, refusing the second time is a separate crime that you'll be charged with, okay? You'll get one free refusal. Use it wisely, okay? Thereafter, you can still refuse, but it's a separate crime and you're not going to have much of a defense to it, okay? So it depends on what do you do. Depends on whether you get pulled over or it's a checkpoint, and it depends on whether or not you know you're guilty or don't know you're guilty, okay? You know you're guilty, keep your mouth shut, give a double refusal, and don't say a word to anyone until you talk to a lawyer.
You're available 24/7.
I don't know, but I love that phrase, double refusal.
Yeah, double.
I'd love to just do that to somebody randomly.
Like double
that's not only a refusal, that's
probation.
A double refusal.
Yeah. Like Dumb and Dumber. I used to know that. Memorize the thing. Anyway, yes, 24/7, 239 Ask Mike. If I'm in the Gulf of Mexico or I'm in Greece or I'm in Mexico, whatever, I answer your calls 24/7.
Yeah.
What if an officer, say, has his sidearm out and is screaming at you, I'm giving you a lawful order? Is that a good time to quote the Constitution?
Not so much. Not so much. My experience as a non-lawyer tells me not so much.
He's Mike Chinopoulos from Absolute Law, 239 Ask Mike 24/7. Mike, thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
It starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and aeroplanes. Stan and Haney are still not afraid. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hi, everybody. Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Greatly appreciated. We're going to get you updated on traffic here in just a second. News headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer. We've got your emails. About 25 minutes from now, we'll give you a chance to win. We're going to play Stan's Name That Movie. Five movie clips, and being that Mother's Day is this weekend, these are five clips that will feature a mom. Up for grabs, I'm just going to give you two things that we have this week. You can maybe get a pair of tickets to Busch Gardens or Dane Cook coming to the Barbara B. Mann.
Are you kidding?
Yep. So that and a few other things as well. That'll be coming up in about 25 minutes.
I thought he bought an island and retired.
Well, he's evidently given it up because he's back. Dane Cook. It's going to be September 26th. Let's get you updated on traffic. Our first look, Jet's Pizza bringing it to us.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, we've got three things to start on the board. We will, and two of them are in North Fort Myers. The first one, crash, Bayshore Road and North Tamiami Trail. The other one in North Fort Myers is North Tamiami Trail and Evergreen Road. One more on the board is a disabled vehicle, Fort Myers, Daniels Parkway, and 6 Mile Cypress. And you are up to date. Another update for you in about 30 minutes. Coming up in less than 1 hour, it will be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. I don't know if you've checked lately, but he is the news. What can you expect? Well, he's about ready to tell you because he's got today's headlines.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Okay.
We'll tell you what the latest viral trend is.
What, like kind of like Tide Pods and all that stuff?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A gentleman by the name of Corey Feldman stole a friend's car and crashed it.
He's always been troubled. Is that the one we're talking about?
I don't know yet.
In less than an hour.
I'll have to read it first.
Yeah.
A man is arrested for making a homemade dog poop bomb. We'll tell you why.
Right on.
And finally, a woman is arrested for trespassing at the Central Intelligence Agency when she goes to the front desks and demands to see Agent Penis. These stories and...
One moment, please.
Yeah. I'll see if he's available. Why, yes, he is.
Yeah.
Less than an hour.
Mark, thank you. Laughter is very important.
It sure is.
We try to bring it to you each and every day with the 4 o'clock fluffer brought to you by Coastal Cooling and Daikin. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies.
Today is Teacher Appreciation Day.
That's nice.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
things you should not say to your teacher.
Top things you should not say to your teacher.
My dad says I can leave the room if you start teaching equal rights for women. Oh, yeah. No, not yeah. Math. I said I need help with meth.
Yeah. Laugh it up.
I'll show you, Matt.
Yeah, there he is. Dave himself.
Be honest. Are you here because you couldn't get into a good cosmetology school? Could you get better tasting chalk?
And you know, he was a chalk eater, too.
Yeah. Oh, just between us, you're just doing this until that novel is finished, right? Just so you know, the class is voted to start impeachment proceedings against you immediately. You know, you've really inspired me with all your hard work to choose a career other than teaching.
Laugh it up.
No, my vaccines aren't up to date. Do you think I want autism?
Jeez. You know what I'm going to say? Give your kids the shots, please. Just give them the shots.
I don't need to study. My parents are going to trick Harvard into thinking I row.
Yep. I wonder if that would have worked for Dave. Like if
no. Although, given his social skills,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
Not a flat no.
No.
You is happy because we learn up good. You give me an A on this BS test, or I tell the principal about your flask.
Oh, yeah.
And finally, the very top thing you should not say to your teacher.
Yes.
In all honesty, why should I listen to you? I make more than you, and I work part-time at Applebee's.
Okay. Yeah. Laugh it up. Yeah.
And that, my friends, is the fourth time. Left the building. Yes, he has.
Email ahoy@stanandhaney.com.
What?
ahoy@stanandhaney.com.
Okay, okay.
Are we receiving email again?
We are.
A day late?
The Guardian sent two emails. One
Jesus.
One that came in at like 8 o'clock, or I'd say 6 o'clock last night, and then one that is current. So I have his current one later on in the email segment.
So maybe it's stabilized now.
Maybe.
Maybe it takes a couple of days.
Yeah, to settle down. I don't understand that.
It should work or
yep,
not.
Yep. But it's settling. This is Meg from Alabama. Ahoy, Stan and Haney. I was watching, and I love the show, Meg. I was watching 90 Day Fiancé Pillow Talk.
What is 90 Day Fiancé? What happens there?
They got like five or six couples that meet online. You know, they might be a girl from another land or a guy from another land, and they've got that 90-day marriage visa to get married, and then they take you through their lives of how they're ruining each other's lives.
So it's like a blind date, except they make you get married?
Yeah. It's like they meet online, and they fall in love, and then they have, most times, it's like from Russia or other places where you not only need a pass, you need a visa. And they get a 90-day visa to come to the U.S. to see what it's like living together. And if you don't get married in the 90 days, they send you back.
Well, that would be nice.
Yeah. Yes, there are some bonus points to that. Ahoy, Stan and Haney. I was watching 90 Day Fiancé Pillow Talk. And Annie was singing the Baby Shark doo-doo-doo-da-da-da song. It reminded me of you guys, and now it's going to be an earworm for the next 6 months. Just want to let you know, I love the show, guys. Signed, Meg in Alabama. This is from Tom, who writes... Ahoy, gentlemen. I attended the Hank Williams Jr. concert this past Friday.
Hey, we did too.
Yep. I was never a huge fan.
What?
But enjoyed his music whenever my brother Jeff would play his music at family functions. Jeff has been a rabid fan for over 30 years. Now, my brother suffered a severe break to his ankle a few months back. He purchased handicapped seating tickets to see Hank Williams, as he has been using a wheelchair to get around. Guys, I was pleasantly surprised by how accommodating Hertz Arena workers are, and they treated us and the fellow concert goers very well. What a great show. We both had our Trump Make America Great caps on, and I lost count of all the high fives we got. Love you guys. Signed, Tom in Estero.
Yeah, that was a great night.
Yep. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, The Guardian.
Jesus.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Stan, the list that you did yesterday with the Constitution questions and the results somehow didn't surprise me. Now, I don't think you gave an age group that answered those questions, but damn, those were some disturbing results. And you know why?
Jesus.
Because they don't teach civics anymore. That's the truth. My first experience with learning how our government worked started in the seventh grade and has been a passion all my life. You have to remember the Constitution is the backbone of this country and what makes us the envy of the world. I wouldn't expect anyone to be a constitutional scholar, but damn, at least know the basics of the Constitution. Just stop and think. It's been around for a long, long time, probably longer than any other document designed to be the basis for how a government works. Yes, it's been amended over that time, but the basics are still the same. So do yourself a favor, take some time, read the Constitution. It's the most important document ever written. You guys are the best. Signed, The Guardian.
Jesus.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to have a chance to win. We've got Bob Cousaw. We got Pewter Mug. We got Bam's Restaurant. We got Fort Myers Miracle tickets. We've got Busch Gardens. We got Dane Cook tickets to the Barbara B. Man. Five movie clips, all dealing with moms, because it's Mother's Day this weekend. First person to correctly identify the film will win a prize. We'll do it when we come back. We are Stan and Haney.
The battered bastards of Beasley Broadcasting.
Stan and Haney
on 96K Rock.
Hey, gang. Stan and Haney here. Thank you for joining us. Mark Haney in the news in about 25-30 minutes. Going to give you a chance to win here in just a second. We're going to play Stan's Name That Movie. Five movie clips today dealing with mom. These are scenes from movies where mom is involved. We'll take care of that, go over the prizes as soon as we take care of traffic, brought to you by Jet's Pizza.
Now, K-Rock Traffic.
All right, let's see. We got four on the board. Check that. We'll start in Fort Myers. Got a crash. The 800 block of Sea Urchin Circle. If you know where that is, you know to avoid it. Fort Myers, crash. 13,000 block of South Tamiami Trail right by the Verizon store. Estero, crash. South Tamiami Trail and Village Shops Way. And one more for you. It's in Bonita. Hit and run. Bonita Beach Road Southeast and Racetrack Road. And you are up to date. One more traffic or another traffic update in about 30 minutes right before Haney in the news. Stan's Name That Movie. Told you it's dealing with mom. Mother's Day is this weekend. First person to correctly identify the film, which has a little feature with mom. You'll get yourself a prize.
There's nobody like you here, nobody like you. With patience and love are divine. No one can take you away from my heart. I need you all of the time.
Mama. Baba Cousaw, Pewter Mug, Bam's Restaurant. We have tickets to see the Fort Myers Miracle. If you'd like a pair of tickets to Busch Gardens, we got that. You can celebrate the opening of Tigris, Florida's tallest launch coaster. 150 feet high. over 1,800 feet of track, max speed 62 miles per hour. We also have a pair of tickets to see Dane Cook coming to the Barber B Man Thursday, September 26th. Your job is to be the first person to identify the film. Mom. I'll release the phones after we play the first clip. It's going to make me cry. So touching. So well done. So today.
Very contemporary.
Yeah, it is. These are moms. Here's movie clip number one. I'll release the phones after we play the first clip.
This is how I relate to the young people.
Name this movie that features a mom.
This stuff is great, but it's like lint.
So tell me, where have you been? I haven't seen you. You haven't even called or anything. Where have you been?
Well, Mom, I've been working nights.
And?
Well, tonight we were out late. We took a ride on out to the country, and we hit one of those deers. That's where all the blood came from. I told you. Jimmy told you before. I won't say. Anyway, you know, it reminds me, I need this knife. I'm going to take this. It's okay?
Okay, yeah.
I just need it for
bring
a little
it back, though, you know.
Well, the poor thing, you know, I hit him in his, we hit the deer in his paw, what do you call it?
The paw.
The hoof got caught in the grill. Oh. I gotta hack it off.
Ooh.
Come on, it's a sin. You gotta leave it there, you know. So, anyway, I'll bring your knife back after I do that.
Anyway.
Delicious.
Thank you. Why don't you get yourself a nice girl?
I get a nice one almost every night, Ma.
Yeah, but get yourself a girl so you could settle down. That's what I mean.
Settle down almost every night, but then in the morning I'm free. I love you. I want to be with you.
Why? Just settle down.
277-9600.
Settle down.
Name the movie where Mom is featured there. What do you call it? A foot? And
I was, out in the, driving around the woods. With damn deer.
Name the movie.
You know, it's rutting time. Maybe, yep.
Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, Uber Steve.
Okay, all right. Hey, Radio Stan. what's the name of the movie?
Goodfellas.
It is Goodfellas, absolutely. What would you like?
Uber Steve, what Radio was, Stan.
Yep.
give me
what?
The Dane Cook ticket.
Yes, all right, Dane Cook. Hold on.
I'm Waterfall Haney.
I've always had a problem with people calling in with nicknames. There used to be a radio show across the hall years and years ago, which basically isolated everybody because all of his callers had their own nicknames, and it was like a club.
All 10 of them.
Yep.
And then there was our true favorite with John McCullough.
Yeah.
His Glock and his lovely wife, Cindy.
Yeah.
Olympic athlete.
Yep, that's what he claimed.
And his callers were known by the last two digits of their phone number.
Yep.
Hey, John, 74 checking in.
All right, there. Good talking to you, 74. Yeah, that was Goodfellas. All about mom. Movie clip number two. Name the movie.
I let him. I tried. I mean, to live always free and above board like you, but I don't know. I just can't seem to find no elbow room.
You always had good jobs. And that girl in Kentucky, I taken a shine to her.
She sure took off. That convertible fella?
Well, why not? Idea marrying got you all bollocked up. Trying to be respectable. You was born the hell out of all of us. I'm leaving the place to John.
That's good, he earned it.
Ain't nothing to do with it. I just never give John the
the kind of, you know, feeling that I give you, so I'm going to pay him back now. Oh, don't feel you have to say anything. It's the way it is, you see. Sometimes you just have a feeling for a child. Else you don't. With John, I just didn't.
I gotta go, Arlena.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Name the movie, Mom. Win a prize. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, my name's Rosemary.
Okay, hi, you've called us before, haven't you, Rosemary?
I have not.
Okay. Well, welcome, Rosemary. It was another Rosemary. She was a real loose wire.
Well, it's a very pretty name.
But it's a very pretty name for you.
Thank you.
Can you name the movie, Rosemary?
Is it Cool Hand Luke?
It is Cool Hand Luke. You are absolutely correct.
Well, if there's one thing going on here, it's not a failure to communicate.
Indeed. What would you like, Rosemary?
What are my choices?
You got Babacu Saw, Pewter Mug, Bam's Restaurant, Fort Myers Miracle Tickets. Anything interest you there?
Yes, the Pewter Mug.
You got it. Hold on.
And so it goes.
She don't listen to us enough to get the big stuff.
What?
Nothing. Just talking under my breath. All right. These are movies about Mom.
Very colorful name.
Yeah. First person to name the film will get themselves a prize. Name this movie, which features a mom.
Who the hell are you?
I'm Owen's friend.
Owen doesn't have a friend.
That's because he's shy.
No, he's not. He's fat and he's stupid. Get out of my house. Where is Owen?
Owen went bowling.
I want Owen.
I'll be back in a minute.
I want my bath. I want my medicine.
I can get it for you.
Who the hell are you all of a sudden?
Let me hang it up for you.
I can hang it my own job, Sam.
I know that, but I would like to hang it up for
get
you.
Get out of my way, you black bastard.
What? Mrs. Lift!
He tried to kill me.
What?
I said he's trying to kill me.
Mrs. Lift! Don't!
Hang it my own goddamn shawl. He's trying to kill me. I asked for the salted nuts. He brought me the unsalted nuts. The unsalted nuts made me choke. Pain in the ass.
Name the movie, win a prize. Name the movie, win a prize. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, it's Tommy.
Tommy, what is it?
It's Throw Mama from the Train.
It is. It's Throw Mama from the Train. Billy Crystal there, Danny DeVito. What would you like?
Busch Gardens, please.
Yeah, you got them. Hold on.
Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. Chance to go check out Tigris, Florida's tallest launch coaster. Tigris.
Hmm. You getting a kickback from Busch Gardens?
No.
You put a lot of effort into that.
Yeah, I do, because it's got all the details on it, and that's why Busch Gardens has been kind enough to give us passes to give to our listeners. That's the way it works.
You going to Busch Gardens?
Not me personally, no. Nope.
You're up to something.
Those days
you're up to something.
No, I'm not.
Because
up to
you put on your
Tigris.
Radio. Yeah, you put
Tigris.
On your radio voice.
Tigris.
Tigris.
All right, we're up to good thing I got a windscreen. We're up to movie clip number 4. It's all about Mom on Sunday, and these are movie clips featuring a mom. Name this movie.
Dale, I don't know if you might want to try this. I make a sauce. We call it fancy sauce.
For me.
that Brennan really likes with his chicken nuggets.
It's my fancy sauce.
Well, when Brennan finishes, I'll give you some of this, and it's ketchup and mayonnaise mixed together. So. Mm,
so good.
I want some fancy sauce.
Yeah.
Not done using it.
Looks good.
Can I have fancy sauce?
Of course. Of course.
I'm using it right now.
Okay. So let's just...
Want to try it,
too? Let's just let him try some.
Yeah, I really would like some.
Just one last spoonful.
I think you've got enough there, Brennan. So here you go.
Thanks.
It's ketchup and mayonnaise.
Ugh. I don't like it. It smells weird.
Okay. I'll try some.
You want some?
Sure, absolutely. Okay. You don't mind, do you, Brennan? You know. Okay.
Brennan.
I'm not comfortable.
That's okay. Brennan. No, it's okay. It's probably not good on fish anyway.
Actually, Brennan is a really talented person. He's a very gifted singer.
I'm really, really good.
How good?
I've been called the songbird of my generation by people who've heard me. That good.
The only trick is that Brennan's very particular about who he sings in front of. So I'm his mom, for example. I've only heard him sing twice.
Name the movie.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
I have some of that fancy sauce.
It's my fancy sauce.
Can I try it?
In a little bit. I want my fancy. I'm using the fancy sauce right now.
Well, okay. What's in it?
Ketchup and mayonnaise. We call it fancy sauce. Ahoy, who's this?
Jim.
Jim, name the movie.
Step Brothers?
It is Step Brothers. You are correct. What would you like?
What do you have to do besides the miracle ticket?
Let's see. I think I can give it. Do you want to go see Dane Cook?
Sure.
All right.
That'll work.
There you go. That's my last pair. Hold on, okay?
All right.
All right, there you go.
Smells weird.
Yeah. I don't like it. It's my fancy ketchup and mayonnaise.
I'm pretty good.
Yeah. Well, how do you know you're pretty good?
The people that have heard me call me the songbird of my generation.
Yeah. 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 But you're pretty particular who you sing around, aren't you?
Yeah. She's my mother. She's heard me sing twice.
Yeah. Last one.
But I'm good.
Yeah, I know. The songbird of your generation.
I'm good like that.
Last one. Easiest one. See, it's the easiest one, but like all the good prizes have been taken already. It's Busch Gardens and Dane Cook. We still got Miracle and Bam's Restaurant and Pewter Mug and Baba Kusaw. If you can name this movie, this is the easiest out of them all.
What's the matter, Mom?
I'm dying.
Come on in, sit down over here.
Why are you dying, Mama?
It's my time. It's just my time. Oh, now, don't you be afraid, sweetheart. Death is just a part of life. Something we're all destined to do. I didn't know it, but I was destined to be your mama. I did the best I could.
You did good, Mom.
Well, I happen to believe you make your own destiny.
Oh, yeah.
You have to do the best with what God gave you.
What's my destiny, Mom?
You're gonna have to figure that out for yourself. Life is a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
There you go.
Well, if you live in Florida, leave them in the car.
Oh, forget it.
It'll be melted.
Yeah. And don't get the right idea that you want to mail somebody a box of chocolates because it melts in the mail.
Is there any more of that fancy sauce?
I'm still using the fancy sauce, okay?
Well,
you'll get the fancy sauce when I'm done with the fancy sauce.
Well, could you pass me the ketchup and the mayonnaise?
No, they're mine. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Dan.
Dan, am I on a speakerphone?
You're on my Bluetooth.
Okay, I don't really care for that very much, Dan.
You probably should see a dentist.
Yeah. If you got a Bluetooth.
I got Bluetooth.
Okay, yeah. Stringing it all that scope. name the movie.
Forrest Gump.
It is Forrest Gump. What would you like?
How about some barbecue sauce?
You got it, buddy. Hold on. That'll turn your teeth brown.
I like that.
Yeah, hold on. All right, Haney, you want to wrap this thing up? What did this come out, 1910?
Oh, come on. 36.
That's a primitive recording for 1936. Jeez. They had electric record players then, not crank up. You want to give me a nice outro?
And that concludes Stan's heartfelt tribute to mothers. Tune in next week as Stan pays tribute to something other than fathers.
Yeah.
Because fathers are not honored.
No, it's dads and grads.
From Radio City in Estero, this is Mark Haney speaking.
The only place in Southwest Florida where drunken idiots and law enforcement actually get along. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. Just past quitting time for a lot of you. Rob's show coming up at 6 o'clock. He will take you through your evening. Mark Haney in the news in just seconds. But first, we got to get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon. And it's brought to you by Jet's Pizza.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
We will start in North Fort Myers. Got a crash. The 100 block of Pondella Road. Next three are in Fort Myers. Crash, College Parkway, and South Cleveland Avenue, right by Ada's Natural Market. Then we got a crash, Fort Myers, Goldenwood Drive and Treeline Avenue. And finally, a crash, I-75. Northbound at mile marker 136. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Mark Haney and the News. Brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. Starts right now.
Direct from our newsroom in color. This is the evening news with Russ Hodge in Memphis, Tennessee. Dan Rather in New York. Bernard Kalb in Saigon, Marvin Kalb in Wellington, New Zealand, and Bert Quint in Khe Sanh, South Vietnam.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Tuesday, May 7th.
WMXIX.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for things you didn't know.
Okay.
You know, I was just telling you, of high interest to both of us, Deadwood is back.
This, I am so glad to see that, and you told me it's coming at the end of the month. It's the big movie on HBO.
May 31st on HBO, the Deadwood movie that wraps it all up happens, and I was just reading an article in Rolling Stone about it. There's a lot I didn't know.
Like what?
How unlikely it is that this happened.
Well, I mean, it went three seasons and then abruptly ended. And I was asking you about it. Wasn't it in the mid-2000s that it was on HBO and then went away? And everybody's like, what? Because it had a lot of fans.
It did. And it turns out that it coming back now, there are a lot of storylines just amongst the actors coming together to do this. The guy that plays Bullock, Tim Oliphant, you could argue that between he and Ian McShane, they're the big stars of the show. And he admits when it was going on, he found it very difficult to play Bullock and wasn't all that upset that it was over.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's realized now that it's the best thing he's ever done, probably the best thing he ever will do.
Phenomenal series.
So he's returning with hat in hand. But David Milch, the writer and the creator, this is what blew my mind and why it really is so unlikely. He has Alzheimer's.
Oh.
And was able to write this script, and all of the actors are going, the whole thing brought them to tears, that he wrote this script that they say is completely friggin' brilliant, as Swearingen would say.
Yeah.
Completely woo, woo-hoo. But that he wrote this script on his good days. Mm. And the interview that he did for the article I was just reading, he would not do it in person, would not do it on the telephone. He would only do it by email.
That's the way Hank Williams Jr. does his interviews, too.
And he said, you send me your questions and I will answer them, but I will only answer them by email because if you're asking me a serious question, I want to give you the best possible answer. Yeah. And I can't guarantee that the day you want to talk to me will be a day that I'm in my right mind.
Yeah. Makes perfect sense. Amazing. And I'm sure he must have had a good chunk of this written years ago, because there's been talk about this movie for a long time. He probably had to put some finishing touches on it, maybe do a few scenes. But well, I know that thing was written.
It's a victim of its own success, because when you're talking about the mid-2000s and they thought about doing something else,
yeah,
at that point it became impossible, based on Timothy Oliphant's demand and Ian McShane's demand, just the two of them, to get them in the same room was virtually impossible.
It's just good news
that
they're finally doing it.
But I thought about this guy writing a script on his good days.
Yep.
That's amazing. Remember the movie Big?
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks was not their first choice.
Well, I know they got Tom Hanks and of course, Robert Loggia.
They wanted Robert De Niro in Tom Hanks' role in Big. Would have been a very different movie.
Don't know how that would have worked.
I don't think it would have.
Me neither. I can't picture Robert De Niro childlike.
No. What was our last president who was neither a Democrat or a Republican?
He was a Whig, I'll tell you that, which was the forerunner of the Republican Party. Abraham Lincoln was a Whig when he was in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And we had like three or four Whigs in a row. Well, Zachary Taylor was a Whig. He died in office, and his vice president, who became president, was the 13th president, Millard Fillmore. Millard Fillmore, final answer, Haney.
Millard Fillmore in 1850, the last of the Whigs.
Then they became the Republicans.
You know, we like to think that as human beings, we are at the top of the food chain.
We are. We know what we like to eat, and we can kill anything we want.
Well, that's only because we're smart. on the actual food chain that they've sketched out,
yeah,
we're actually kind of low because we're omnivores. We eat meat and plants.
Right.
Our place on the food chain, we're right there with pigs and anchovies.
What? Anchovies?
Yeah. We are way below tigers, crocodiles, and boa constrictors. You know, for whatever reason, in the last couple of decades, zombies have become huge business.
Yeah.
Whether it's movies or video games, a lot of zombies involved. There is an actual medical condition. It's called Cotard's syndrome that makes people believe they are dead and walking corpses. It is a recognized disorder.
No, we've known a few.
It's also a disorder that I'm aware of, but I like to call it acting out.
Yeah. Oh, we were talking about Deadwood, and I did not see season 3. I was an avid watcher of it. I have both season 1 and season 2 on DVD. Watched it when it was on HBO. Did not watch season 3. Is our pal William Sanderson going to be in Deadwood, or did he die?
I don't remember if he died or not.
Because if he is involved in this, it is the one good thing that Dave can do for us, because he established a nice relationship with William Sanderson.
Oh, yeah. We talked to him all the time.
Oh, he did a lot of stuff for us. We did charity auctions and stuff, and he got us items. And he was a regular on the show.
Mm-hmm.
We would call him up if we needed a favor, if we needed a guest. He would always be on. And I want to know, is he a part of the movie, or did his character die off? Because if he's in that movie, I want him on. Dave can call him.
They did mention that when they were filming, and it wasn't William Sanderson, but I think one of the cameramen or something, as they were filming, said something to David Milch like, oh boy, I missed this character. We never get to find out what happened to him, huh? Not in the script, nothing mentioned, and somehow David Milch had the actor on a plane there the next day, wrote him a scene to wrap up his character.
William Sanderson was the hotel keeper.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he was there for season 1 and season 2, but I didn't see season 3. I'd want to know if he's in the cast.
I got to go and rewatch some of this stuff.
I'm going to refresh myself to this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's in the movie, we got to get him back on.
Yeah, I don't remember if he died in the series or not.
And that is the one thing he can do, Dave.
Well, there's lots he can do. He can yell, get some with the best of them.
Don't even start that.
That's something he can do.
Rob, will you find out if the cast for the movie has William Sanderson in the cast for the movie coming up on May 31st? If William Sanderson's name is there, I'm putting Dave to work, because he's going to call some old friends.
Time now for the latest viral video challenge. What goes on? People are filling up their Crocs with shaving cream and jamming their feet in, with the result being shaving cream exploding out of the holes of the Crocs.
Well, at least it's not going to kill you.
But evidently, people just can't get enough of it.
It's probably a good feeling. I got Crocs.
Easy.
I'd try that.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a kink to me.
He says William Sanderson's in the movie.
All right. Well, it's time to get to work.
It's time for Dave to start making a few phone calls.
Because it seems like they got everybody that they could.
Then we got our in. And he was a cool guy. He was in a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
True Blood. He was in True Blood.
Yes,
and
he
of
was.
Course, everybody remembers him from Newhart.
Yep.
He was one of the three Swamp Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Daryl.
And his other brother, Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In a moment.
Oh, yeah. Visit Jason and Todd
at the Diamond District. Mother's Day is special, and our friends Jason and Todd have a wonderful Mother's Day weekend planned at the Diamond District. This Mother's Day weekend, the Diamond District presents their very first Yes, I Do, and I Love You sale. If you're ready to pop the question, it's the perfect time to visit the Diamond District, as they have the largest selection of Forever Mark and GIA loose certified diamonds priced at wholesale, below what you'll find online. And during the sale, Jason and Todd are offering 20% off engagement rings. If she's already said yes, this weekend's sale has you covered with 20% off wedding bands. Maybe you've been married for years and you say I love you every day. This weekend, say it a different way by visiting the Diamond District and resetting your beautiful diamond you said yes to into a fresh new designer ring and save 20%. It's the Yes, I Do, and I Love You sale going on this Mother's Day weekend only at the Diamond District. Discounts limited to participating designers and some brand exclusions may apply. At the Diamond
District. And now, back to Haney's News on the Stan and Haney Show.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill.
I see Gerald McHaney is in.
Yes, he is.
Oh, this looks good. We're watching the trailer.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. You know, we've heard that it is very tough in the real world for child actors. But how often do we stop and think how difficult life is for someone named after a child actor?
What?
There's a 28-year-old man in Clearwater, and his real legal name is Corey Feldman. Life hasn't been easy.
He had parents that just really, please.
On Monday morning, Corey Feldman stole his a-hole buddy's Mercedes from a gas station, sped off, and wound up crashing into a BMW. So he stole the Mercedes and wrecked it into a BMW. It's like he's going for the most expensive possible crash.
Oh, sure.
Both of the people in the BMW were injured and needed to be hospitalized. Corey Feldman taken to the hospital with injuries. He's been charged with grand theft auto, DUI with serious bodily injury, and driving with a suspended license. And yet another instance.
Yep.
Yet another victim.
Yep.
Of someone named after a child star with a difficult life.
Yeah. Corey Feldman. You can see those kids, the parents. Oh, because Corey Feldman was probably pretty popular when he was born.
Mm.
Oh, we'll name him Corey after the successful movie star.
Yeah. He'll be just like him.
Yeah. Oh no. We were right all along.
Here's a 48-year-old gent named Rob Stout in Portland, Oregon. Last month, he got mad at an a-hole buddy for borrowing something and not returning it.
Well, hey.
Rob, at that point, decided to do the only thing he could do.
What's that?
He picked up a bunch of dog crap and stuffed it into a plastic toolbox. Then, using a battery, wiring, switches, and a car airbag to rig a bomb so that when his a-hole buddy opened the toolbox, the dog crap would become explosive.
That is so sophomoric.
And it worked perfectly. The bomb went off and dog crap exploded all over the place.
Right on.
Now, to be clear, the friend was not injured at all. Just had dog crap all over his face.
Yeah.
But somehow, Rob was arrested on a felony charge of unlawfully manufacturing a destructive device.
Well,
that moves you over into the, you know,
yeah,
Haji column.
Yeah, I know. Yes, it does. But it is a biohazard.
And it didn't help that when police searched his house, they also found plenty of meth and a sawed-off shotgun. So he's going down for that, too.
You brought up about...
But he had his revenge.
Yeah, I'm it just triggered it in my head. You brought up about the dog poop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So everybody, all of the condo police at my condo have all gone back up north. So, you know.
Anything goes.
Anything goes. So one of the first things in my association thing, no pickup trucks overnight, no work trucks overnight, and no...
What are you supposed to do if you own a pickup truck?
You're not supposed to have it there. You can't have it. And by the way, they went around a petition to allow pickup trucks, and I said no.
What's the attitude about pickup trucks? Are they just unsightly?
Yeah, eyesore.
Okay.
And
some of them pickup trucks cost more than your car.
I know, because I've thought about, you know, I'd like to get a pickup truck again.
But if you can't have one, nobody can.
That's right. So. And then the third thing is no motorhomes. You can bring a motorhome in, but it cannot stay in the parking lot overnight. Well,
what if it's just a conversion van?
No. So everybody goes back up north, places just down to a third of what the residency is. And wouldn't you know it, somebody invited Cousin Eddie, and he's got this huge,
taking up 12 parking spaces,
run down motorhome that's taking up 12 spaces, not supposed to be there. Trust me, somebody brings a small, like, Nissan pickup truck during season, they're run out of there like with pitchforks and torches. Somebody comes in now.
I went over and you and I went out for a ride. I left my car at your place. It comes back plastered with warnings
and tow notices.
Yeah.
So there is this rusted out Winnebago that is taking up 12 spaces in our parking area. The other big thing, and I think this is at most places, is the dog defecation.
Mm-hmm.
They have a dog area at my condo, and you're supposed to pick up after your pet. So they go and do their business. So you see the people around carrying the plastic bags over their hands, pick it up, tie it up, and throw it away. So I got a Cousin Eddie over here at my complex now in just a bomb motorhome. And he's been there now for 3 or 4 days, coming out first thing in the morning to walk his dog, and the dog's crapping everywhere. And then he brings the dog back in. So my girlfriend's leaving to go to work the other day. See you later. I'll talk to you later. She comes back 3 seconds later. Why? Because she's walking across the grass and stepped in Cousin Eddie's dog's crap. And it's sitting right there, and nobody's doing a damn thing about it.
Well, it's because they're all back home in the Midwest.
They don't care. Out of sight, out of mind. And also, the construction has started, too. They're pulling up walkway floors now.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill, last week, 58-year-old Jennifer Hernandez walked into the CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia.
Oh, jeez.
She did this every day for 3 days straight. She kept telling them she was there to see a recruiter, but that didn't seem to be true. Finally, on day 3, she showed up again at the CIA to see one specific person. Jennifer demanded to see Agent Penis immediately.
Yeah.
When officers in front of the CIA complex refused to allow her to go and meet with Agent Penis, She told them, quote, "Do you really think I'm going to leave?" She was promptly arrested for trespassing. And boy, the CIA is going to owe her a whopper of an apology if it turns out there really is an Agent Penis and Jennifer was their top recruit.
Yeah.
Be singing a different tune.
Oh, you know what? And I don't appreciate the texters. Stan, you voted no to pickup trucks. What a dick. No, I did not vote. I didn't vote on anything like that. It never got that far. I was a petition that I said no.
Yep, winning friends. And that's the news for today, Tuesday, May 7th.
Double M-X-I-X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Mikey Haney, telling it like it is.
And the reason you did that is because you're...
What the... Ooh.
You're jealous that you don't have a pickup truck.
You know what? I wanted a pickup truck.
I know you did.
And the fact is if I was going to get it, I was going to vote for it. Well, sign the petition, yes. But you and a few of my other friends said, "Stan, I know you want a pickup truck because I experienced it. How it was a different lifestyle. Remember when I had that?
Yeah, and it would be bad for you.
And you said it'd be bad because everybody's going to be asking you to help them move stuff.
Oh, Stan's got a truck.
Yeah,
call him.
Call him. So I decided against it because I really wanted one. And I would have signed the petition, yes, yes. But when some old lady's coming around because her son who visits wants to keep his pickup truck there, I said, lady, I can't help you on that, okay? Well, you put me down for a no. Jason and Todd from the Diamond District, Brilliant News. I didn't vote on anything.
And somehow all of your actions make sense to you.
Yeah, it makes complete sense.
Okay.
We, the management of Beasley Broadcasting, would like to thank Stan and Haney for their decades of dedication to this radio station.
Shucks.
We'd like to, but we won't.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Dave the Waterman just assured me. William Sanderson, he's going to get them. He's going to call the old friends. How much you want to bet? I'll put money down. It ain't going to happen. Rob's show up next at 6 o'clock. He'll take you through your evening. Let's get a final look at traffic brought to you by Jet's Pizza.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Just a couple of things on the board. North Fort Myers, that crash on Pondella Road. And then still dealing with the crash on I-75 northbound at mile marker 136. And you are up to date.
He had no sense at all.
but he can't step it up and go.
Step it up and go.
Yes, yeah, step it up and go.
Step it up and go.
Just keep your mind on it, honey, step it up and go. Me and my baby walking down the street, kidding everybody but the chief of police. You gotta step it up and go.
Step it up and go.
Yeah, step it up and go.
Step it up and go.
Just keep your mind on it, honey, step it up and go.
Good.
Yes, it was.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
Remember when you were a kid and they told you you shouldn't drink? Well, you really shouldn't drink. It's not going to solve all your problems. You're just going to forget about them for a little while. All right, line them up. Sounds good to me. It's better than thinking about this all the time. I drink so much more now, so much more. And not like that fun happy hour drinking either. Ever since I had kids, it's more like standing alone at the kitchen sink kind of drinking. Daddy's a lot more fun when he gets some of his magic juice inside of him. Every picture my daughter draws of me now has me with a martini glass. It's just a triangle, a stick, and my three fingers. Yeah, three fingers. She's not that bright, but she's a good kid. She makes a mean drink, too. You'd like her. No, it's good. Alcohol's good. It's a, right? This is a communal way to be happy. You're all in it together. You're thinking the same way. It's a good thing. That's why I don't like antidepressants. Sneaky way to be happy, right? Just brushing your teeth alone in the morning, popping a pill. Yay! I love Mondays. No, you don't. You're a liar. You're cheating the system. Really, you order a martini at the end of the day, you're telling everyone in that room, you know what, I woke up this morning, looked myself in the mirror and said, today is going to be the day. Once again, it didn't work out. So I'm going to drink three of these, say something inappropriate to that waitress over there, pass out, and try again tomorrow.
Have yourselves a great evening, Lord willing. We're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this. Laughter. Laughter is very important.
It sure is.
We try to bring it to you each and every day with the 4 o'clock Fluffer, brought to you by Coastal Cooling and Daikin. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies?
Today is Teacher Appreciation Day.
That's nice.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
things you should not say to your teacher.
Top things you should not say to your teacher.
My dad says I can leave the room if you start teaching equal rights for women. Oh, no, not math. I said I need help with meth.
Laugh it up.
I'll show you, man.
Yeah, there he is. Dave himself.
Be honest. Are you here because you couldn't get into a good cosmetology school? Could you get better tasting chalk?
And you know, he was a chalk eater, too.
Yeah. Oh, and just between us, you're just doing this until that novel is finished, right? Just so you know, the class is voted to start impeachment proceedings against you immediately. You know, you've really inspired me with all your hard work to choose a career other than teaching.
Laugh it off.
No, my vaccines aren't up to date. Do you think I want autism?
Jeez. You know, and I was saying, give your kids the shots. Please, just give them the shots.
I don't need to study. My parents are going to trick Harvard into thinking I row.
Yep. I wonder if that would have worked for Dave. Like, if.
No. Although, given his social skills,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
Not a flat no.
No.
You is happy because we learn up good. You give me an A on this BS test, or I tell the principal about your flask.
Oh, yeah.
And finally, the very top thing you should not say to your teacher.
Yes.
In all honesty, why should I listen to you? I make more than you, and I work part-time at Applebee's.
Yeah. Laugh it up.
Yeah.
And that, my friends, is the fourth line. Left the building. Yes, he has.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.